morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I'm honored and privileged to have with me today, and I mean that sincerely, a guy that I have the utmost respect for. I tried to tell him, don't take the job, but he didn't listen. He is superintendent of the Pittsfield School System, Joe Curtis. This week, this is playing on Monday. We interviewed a bunch of the movers and shakers in the Pittsfield school system. The response has been phenomenal. And thank you, and keep it coming.
Yeah.
Because these people, as one person said, they are so, it's obvious how dedicated they are. I'm glad that came through.
Yeah. I was so pleased. You know, this was a great idea of yours. And we went into immediate action to make it happen. And, you know, even during the course of the week with the leaders that you had on and hosted, they each said, we should do this more often, which I completely agree. And I know PCTV and WTBR would be more than happy to host. So that's something we're going to discuss very early next week. It's just having more of an opportunity to get the good work out there to our public.
I'm at your beck and call. I will be more than happy. If you want to do a show, I will be more than happy to host it for you. I think back on my old days in my former career when the warden at the big house in Kansas said, you know, we have to open our windows to let people know what we are doing. Rather, the walls keep these people in, but they also keep people out. And this was coming to me when I was interviewing the both principals. Wait a minute. We got to get the word out.
Yeah. The programming that's being offered, you know, and I'm sure you heard that with each district and school leader is just really precedent setting. And we're constantly refining and improving and putting forth more for our students to give them a robust educational experience. So I'm glad that you found the same in your conversations with them.
Well, my old life is developing and being part of a team that developed the Violent Youthful Offender Program for adjudicated juveniles sent to the penitentiary. I'm not an educator, but it gave me a real insight into where education was failing some people. I don't see that here. We have programs. I mean, I was blown away, absolutely blown away. Even yesterday's program with Melissa.
You know, we started that work with Rise and Reset a number of years ago. And really at that time, unprecedented. School systems did not have these types of systems and supports for their students, you know. Really trying to ensure that when they have an emotional need or they need to talk to someone, that there are many opportunities to do so. You know, and throughout the years, we've heard, you know, claims or concerns that those systems are not there, but they are there. We've been working on expanding them each year, you know, and despite our recent budget shortfall, you know that well, we have almost a $1.6 million budget shortfall. We still managed in our planning to preserve those systems because we feel that they're absolutely essential.
I will go to the moon to defend you doing that because I have seen and experienced firsthand when they're not in place and the help isn't there. The other piece that I heard from a citizen, a kind of a colleague of mine, friend, was I didn't know we had those problems in Pittsfield. We're an urban school district.
That's very true. And you know, for being here for almost 30 years, I'm still surprised, if you will, that people, our community members, don't realize we are truly an urban school district. The only one in Berkshire County, as you know. Yeah. And I grew up in Springfield, very in his inner city. And we have those same complexities here in Pittsfield.
Yes.
And we have to respond accordingly with those supports to ensure our students feel safe and comfortable and supported during the school day.
And the pathways, I don't know where I did a lot of research on all of these things before they came on. I really did. And I think pathway, I don't know who came up with it, but it's brilliant.
You know, many, many years ago, we utilized the term academies.
Yeah.
And we had some direction for students in those academies. But I will argue that these pathways, either the vocational pathways or the ones that are being established at Pittsfield High School, truly give students direction in understanding what they want to do with their lives when they graduate high school. And the opportunities that our students have now and will have in the future are certainly not the same ones we had when we went to high school. It was, basically take high school classes and kind of figure out what you want to do. And that was a struggle then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because we barely had any direction from our high school career. And we know that our students need much more than that in current times.
And you're 100% right. Going back to the Bob Dylan song, the times they are a-changing.
Yeah.
And boy, you better buckle your seatbelt, because they're changing. I don't think I could think of one change in junior high the whole 3 years I was there. And then, it was rote. You're going to take algebra and this, and going to take this, that. And, but now these pathways are so well developed and thought out. And the intricacies built into them, they're amazing.
Yeah. Last night I had the honor of attending a Little Mermaid at Taconic High School, and the weekend previous, Chicago at Pittsfield High School. I mean, two absolutely stunning performances. And both of those schools really joining coursework and experiences together to lead students down a pathway in the performing arts that, can really provide them an incredible career.
Yeah.
And a career that brings a lot of joy and happiness. And I saw that again last night at Taconic, and the weekend before at Pittsfield High School with Chicago. Just stunning opportunities for these students that no matter if they choose to be an actor or not, or in stage production, but just to work in front of the public and have the perseverance of seeing through a finished product. Yep. Those are skills that you could carry to any career.
That's right.
No matter what you choose to do. I'm on such a positive high from last night and then the weekend before.
Yeah.
And all that our school system does to really give these our students incredible opportunities that make them shine brightly. It's just amazing.
And I will say this, I've been around a long time. Let's just put it that way. And if you don't believe it, be in this body looking out and feel the aches and pains. But anyhow, I was pleased. I have to tell you, when the interview, I believe it was yesterday with Melissa, the reset. And all,
yes.
Where some of these kiddos, you guys have gone above and beyond to include them in the vocational pathways.
Absolutely.
Kind of. as part of their overall program. Now, I've been around logistics a long time. Those things just don't happen.
Right.
There's a lot of work and planning, and I take my hat off, and I say this, I used to teach management for the Department of Justice. If you're looking, if an agency's having issues, you look to the top. If an agency's doing real well and doing, you look to the top. And this is a compliment to you, Mr. Curtis, for promoting that cohesiveness, you know, working together to make these things happen for the kids.
Yeah.
And you know, compliment to you, sir.
I appreciate that. You know, and we believe, certainly everyone in the Pittsfield Public Schools, that every student, no matter what their current circumstance, deserves that opportunity, right? Yeah. And no matter what we have to do to make that happen. And I appreciate your acknowledgement, because in that example, we do have students that are in the Eagle Academy.
Yes.
Participate in vocational programming. And the strength that they show while they're at Taconic in that programming is impressive. And it's giving them hope, right, to have a good life.
Yeah.
And that's our goal. You know, when I've been in the Pittsfield Public Schools for 30 years, and I'm always overjoyed when I see one of my former students. They're all about 35 now in my first class when I was a teacher. doing well. And, you know, doing well is defined by them, right? But then, and I've seen some of them in vocational fields. I've seen some of them in office jobs all over the city.
Yeah.
And that's our goal. We want to give our students every opportunity so they can live a successful, and however they define that, happy, good life, you know, because we know that benefits our city in every way.
Well, that's what I said throughout the week. What the Pittsfield school system is doing through a variety of avenues, instead of college prep, tech, bulk, that's it.
Yeah.
and also I want to go back to Dr. McCandless and Eberwein and yourself, because you're in the play there, for elevating the concept of vocational technical education to the same level as college prep.
Yeah. And that has taken a lot of work, to be quite honest.
Oh, I know.
In the community. You know, when I was in high school, Putnam Vocational High School in Springfield, that had the reputation at that time, it doesn't any longer, that if you couldn't make it in high school, you went there. And hopefully you learned something. And now we have worked so diligently to elevate that to be on equal footing, if you will, with a college choice. And you know, as you've seen and heard Ms. Gage report out numerous times, that when our students graduate from a vocational program, the salary, not that money's everything, but it is a lot.
Yeah.
The salary is certainly comparable with those students exiting college and looking for a career. So, you know, we are in recent times, Ms. Gage has added things like the recent signing day, right? Where students were proclaiming what they were going to do next and committing to that. And you see how proud the families are in the audience, right? And they're proud because they know that their child has a strong chance at having a good, successful life and how they determine. So I agree. I often am envious, if you will, jealous a little bit, I guess you could call it, of these students that at this young age, right, have really endless opportunities at 17 or 18 years old. I'm just so impressed by the opportunity. Yeah.
What I am happy with too, Joe, and you just, I have it in my notes here to touch on it. We talked about it during the week. It's also I look at it, the signing is really your first step in maturity.
Yeah.
You've made this you've now gone from the, you know, the gooky kiki, you know, twiddly teenager to, wait a minute, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, that to me, that's a big gold star to Miss Gates. And let me just say this. We had to do the show, folks. This is inside baseball here. To do the show, we had it all planned to do it from the studio live at Taconic. Well, there's an air conditioning situation that happened. We couldn't do it. Miss Gates improvise, overcome, just as I tell you, they taught us in the Army. And all of a sudden, it came, it is with anything, as my father would say, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Thanks to Miss Gage, I think we've done this well.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I would just recommend that she, as far as I'm concerned, she's worth my weight in gold. And trust me, that's a lot of weight.
You know, I would agree. And recently I was just having a conversation because, you know, we are planning to restructure certainly our middle schools.
Right.
And to start to provide these opportunities once we go through that entire restructuring process with lots of community feedback. But we have every intention, if we proceed with that, and that in that grade 7 and 8 school, starting to give students experiences in grade 7 and 8, strong ones, in thinking about what careers, career paths, vocational paths, they'd like to pursue in high school. So we know that has to be a strong component in our grade 7 and 8 school, without question. So kids can even start, in families, yep, can even start to think about that a little earlier, right? And start some exploration in grade 7 and 8. And so that when they make that decision, Bill, to go into 9th grade, depending on which career path they want to take, they'll have more information, and so will their families.
And, you know, I have to reminisce, and when I was in junior high, we had shop.
Yeah.
We were exposed to shop. Yeah. I had Miss Hart. She was a wonderful lady and a teacher. And I had Mr. Genet. He was a carpentry. And you literally made things that you had home. And I just end with this. When I had Miss Hart, I wove a rug on a whatever. And my mother kept that rug until she passed. We sold the house. The rug was still there. So that, there you go.
You know, unfortunately, you know, in the late 90s, when the middle schools were remodeled, you know, the thought at that time was certainly there wasn't a value on vocational opportunities like there is now, right? There wasn't.
Yep.
And so the thought then was, you know, let's take out all those shops, if you will, and replace it with technology, computer classes, opportunities,
yep,
you know, so that traditional home economics and wood shop and metal shop, yeah, those were all removed. And it's an absolute shame that it was, because our kids need exposure to those skills and all that take place within a shop. I mean, if you think about home economics, even the classes that we participated in, we were taught so many things in those classes that are basic life skills, right? Forget about career opportunities.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we really are going to work hard, and Miss Gage is writes phenomenal grants, brings in much money into the Pittsfield Public Schools. And so we'll be looking to her to do that work for our grade 7 and 8 school too, so we can start to bring back those career exploration opportunities.
And you know, it's an area that people hear about on the outside of the realm of the school building and outside the realm of being an educator. And that's special ed. And I can't say enough about Jenny Stokes. I mean, the grasp that she has on special ed and the needs and providing those needs. It's refreshing. And I hope more people get to see this. And I'm going to work with PCTV of putting one up maybe for a week and then another one for on my TV show so that more people get to see it. Because it's enlightening. It's like the one lady said to me, it's a big why. She said, oh, I saw you on TV this morning. And I said, I'm sorry. And she said, no, I like watching your program. She said, I never knew. It was so enlightening that we had that many kiddos that need special needs.
Yeah.
Special ed. You know,
the special education director position is the most complex position in a school district. I don't say that lightly. We have, I believe probably Director Stokes said it, over 1,200 students on individual education plans that are very specific to the needs of the students that they're authored for. In managing that and trying to move the work forward is more complex than it's ever been. We often think back to our school experience.
Yeah.
I actually took speech when I was in elementary school. My IEP said that. Rather simple IEP, some minimal accommodations in the classroom. But the complexity of the IEPs now are nothing to be compared of those in the past. So, and the amount of individual programming opportunities that we have here certainly is unmatched by any other school district in the county. There's no question.
And that's why they come here. I mean, I know people who've been in other districts or families who live in other, but they have their kids come here.
Yeah. And you know, the work is never done.
No.
It's never complete. And it's never to everyone's satisfaction. And that's the nature of special education, as groups of educators and families, they have to sit around a table and grapple with what is best for the child. And that's part of the process. And, you know, at times it can be incredibly difficult. I'm not going to hide that fact. There can be much disagreement, but in the end, you know, we will do whatever is in our power, to ensure that our students are provided with an opportunity for a free, appropriate public education. You know, and often many family members think that this is a money concern. And I always assure families that we need to get to the bottom of what is best for their child with their partnership. This isn't about money. It's not about dollars, right? We would never put that forth as a concern when it comes to a child.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say this, and again, going back to my experience, I'm going to capsulize a lot of them into one person. I had almost 80% of the youthful offenders that came into the program were on IEPs. And but the difference I'm hearing and experiencing, and I saw this at Taconic, let me rephrase that, the old Taconic.
The old
It had a lot of clash, you know. Not every place had a slalom down the main hallway to Mr. Leakes. But the offenders would tell me, yeah, I had an IEP, but because of my behavioral problems in my behavior, and they were open, you know. I never got there. All right, when I got there, because I said something, the teacher, there was a lot of labeling, there was a lot of misinterpretation and misunderstanding of everything I heard all week made me feel so good that all of these people are bending over backwards to address the holistic needs of the child, not just can you speak French, you know. And I that's a tribute to the Pittsfield school system.
I appreciate that. Our greatest enemy, if you will, is time. There needs, every day needs to be probably 48 hours rather than 24, because there is a tremendous amount of need. And in particular with mental health,
yes,
that impacts a child's diagnosis, actually entitles them to have an IEP. So, we're finding that so many of our IEPs are because of an identified behavioral disability or mental health disability, and the complexity of servicing those children and writing IEPs that service them well and support them well is unheard of in comparison to just 10 years ago.
Just
simply stunning. And I don't say that as an excuse, but that's the reality. And so, we often face families that maybe feel we didn't get back to them in quick enough fashion, but, it's just the day's only 24 hours and there's just sometimes not the time in one day, despite all of us working much longer than the school day. I always have people ask, and well-intentioned, well, the school day is not, a full work day. No one just works the length of the school day, and works much beyond that. And most of us don't have summers off, as is the perception that community. I would love to maybe in retirement, but not now, and neither does a special education director.
And living with a teacher for the last 53 years, I know that the school day doesn't end when it ends. No. There's phone calls at night, there's correcting papers, there's doing planning, there's all these things. Yeah, and there are a lot of these misconceptions, and that's why I'm glad we did these programs, because if the feedback continues the way it is, it's rewarding for me, because my job is to get the public speakers, the people in charge, their words out, not, oh, well, I heard in the diner, that Mercer, they got all that overhead at Mercer, they don't need it. And I really took on one person and very quickly. And I said, if don't be mad at the school department, be mad at Boston. And they said, why? What's Boston got to do with it? They come up with all these reporting requirements and all these things, but I'm sure nobody reads. I'm because I've been in those government jobs. I used to have an inmate come in once a week with a laundry cart full of printouts for me to review. I should tell him, dude, forget it. I don't have the time. But I really think too, and I think going back a few years, that Miss Yan and others on the school committee at the time dug their heels in with I call them Dizzy or Detsy, but you got another one for them. But, oh, by the way, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the Pittsfield School Committee, Pete Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the guys, the wonderful guys from Casella that are picking up the trash. I saw them today. Thank you. So they're very courteous guys.
But
there's so much. That's why I think we opened the windows this week, I hope.
The requirements, and I find myself overwhelmed some weeks, because there are weeks where the communications from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, not just communications, but requirements and tasks, there are times that there's 50 to 100 emails from DESE representatives, and they're not just informational, if you will.
Right.
They're asking for something to be completed or done. And I understand that they are holding a high standard, a high bar, as we're transforming and seeking the same thing. But at the same time, you know, the educational requirements that were in place that when I first became a teacher in 1994 are nothing. There is nothing to relate to how they are now. And you can go to the DESE, you can just do a quick Google search, DESE Accountability Pittsfield, Mass. And you can see the hundreds, no exaggeration, of data points, information that's collected on every school system. And so, yeah, when educational reform happened in the early 90s, and the MCAS assessment and the measuring of the dropout rate, graduation rate, attendance, suspension, all of these things came about. The school staff and the district staff that you had in those years would not suffice in any way.
No.
And I hate to, I don't want to project that we just have staff here at Mercer to handle DESE reporting.
No, I didn't need it.
But it is a part of it, and it's a real part, and it's a mandated part. There's no choice in it. But, you know, the central office of long ago had many more people working here than now.
Right.
Many.
Yes.
In fact, two large offices upstairs, we actually converted for professional learning for our district. So a lot of times when you see a lot of cars out in the parking lot, it's not all the employees here. We have this as a district meeting space as well. So, you know, there is so many myths. I always appreciate you raising them. But the people here are busy.
I'm
not just saying that.
And the word, that, and I don't mean to correct you, but I want to add to your comment. The mandates out of Boston, there was one word missing. Unfunded.
Unfunded.
Unfunded. I'm sorry. I get worked up. We have to take a break. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301, and the web and everything else, Google and Moogle and whatever. If you want to know all the technical stuff, call out to use PCTV. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. There's much more to talk about. My goal was to open the windows, let everybody see what they're doing, what's going on in the public schools, and understand we are an urban school district.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. The good-looking guy you see there, he's got nice ties, this guy. I watch him on a school committee meeting.
Always... Do you see how much I've aged, though, in 3 years?
Yes, the grayness shows.
It's like...
You'll be doing what I did when gray came in. Cut it up. His name is Joe
Porter.
He's the superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools. We've just finished what I consider one of the best programming weeks I've ever done, and I've been on the radio now 20 years. Interviewing department heads within the Pittsfield school system. And I want to say to the people who've already responded, thank you. Yes. It means a lot. We put a lot of effort into this week. We all of us did. I hope you can see the first of all, my peers, it's not your father's school district anymore.
Yeah.
There's so many social things that have changed, educational things. And I will say this, Pathways is cutting edge as far as I'm concerned. The way we deal with kiddos with problems. And if you don't think there's kiddos with problems, step outside your house. Television. But I use this word, and it's an old word, but I'm an old guy. Our educational system in the city of Pittsfield is take a holistic approach, not just academics, not just sports, not just drama, but the whole kiddo. And if I'm wrong, don't send me Christmas cards.
Yeah, you know, and we appreciate that because we have worked very diligently, you know, particularly in recent years, to make sure that we invest in the supports that are needed. And some would say there's never enough. And I don't know if I could argue with that at this point because there is so much need. But, you know, in the past 3 years since I've become superintendent, we've been aggressive in trying to impact change in a thoughtful way, you know, and we've been talking about the restructuring. I'm grateful that the city council approved myself submitting a statement of interest. We're looking at our school attendance districts. We're looking at our middle school model, our grade spans, you know, and we were fortunate enough just recently to, as you know, this just within the past year, convert Taconic to an all CTE school.
Brilliant.
To give every student that wants the opportunity in the city of Pittsfield a chance to go down a vocational path. And now Ms. Gage and Principal Esco are doing the same, if you will, at Pittsfield High School. So
amazing, you know, courses too. Amazing courses.
Yeah, opportunities are just unprecedented, and the partnerships that we're developing with our local business owners. So we can give, you know, our goal is to get to a point where almost every student that wants to be out on co-op or an internship in their 11th and 12th grade year has that opportunity, right? So our kids get out into our city and work and career possibilities that they might not have even thought of. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction. Some would say it's not fast enough. I would agree with them. But we have to do things in a responsible way that where when we make a change, it's sustainable. And all of our stakeholders have had the input in making that change. But there are some substantial changes coming in the very near future. This isn't 20 years down the road. This is 3 to 5. So we really appreciate, like you were saying, Bill, that so many people have come up to you in the past week, really acknowledging the efforts that we're putting forth.
Yeah, it's heartwarming to hear that. And, you know, some of the other folks, Miss Nichols, I mean, I don't know where you find these people, how you keep them, because really and truly, they're amazing.
Yeah. You know, these are truly dedicated, passionate leaders that have committed, and I think that's to be respected, to the Pittsfield Public Schools. Right. Yeah. You know, we know we've already talked about it, that we're an urban school district. Urban school districts across the state, across the nation, have unique challenges. And so these are people that have made a deliberate choice to be with the Pittsfield Public Schools.
Yes.
And see those challenges through for the betterment of our children. So, you know, I always have a special level of gratitude being here for 30 years for those district leaders, those educators, those support workers, those bus drivers, cafeteria custodians who are committed to being in the only urban school district in Berkshire County, because quite honestly, some could view an assignment at a in a nearby local town easier. I just had a teacher who's looking to come back to the Pittsfield Public Schools who teaches in a surrounding district, you know, say, you know what, I'm just not challenged where I am. I want to come back to where there's a challenge. Well, that's here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, we're hoping we have every opportunity to bring, and that's just one of many staff members back here, because we want people that want that challenge.
And so many of the children going to our schools need those people in their lives. When you talk about the multicultural Miss Day, I mean, where do you committed is the word. That's committed. It's all I can. That's the word for every person I interviewed. You know, the principal of PHS, she was radiant about the program.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? If you couldn't see that this woman was excited about their pathway programs, then something wrong with you, because I picked up.
Yeah, I mean, Principal Esko, you know, she was a teacher, an educator.
Yeah.
Then school leadership, all at Pittsfield High School, in a time of need, stepped forward to be the principal of Pittsfield High School. And so, again, these are people that have a different level of dedication to the children of the city of Pittsfield. Yeah. Commitment. And that's what we try to foster here. We want people that work in the Pittsfield Public Schools that are truly on a different level, that are willing to go through a lot of challenge, but are persevering no matter what in the best interests of our children. And, you know, the work is never done, and it's never good enough, because it's for our kids.
And you know, as I think back on my times at in the Pittsfield Public Schools, I said that one of the folks the other day, people like to say stuff about the Pittsfield school. Well, part of it is we're an urban school district, we're in the county seat, and we're the newspaper's headquartered. So,
yeah.
You know, three strikes against you kind of thing. But one of the pluses, I think, and you just mentioned it, if you can teach in an urban school district, and because I would say 98% of all the violent youthful offenders I hear came from urban districts. I myself grew up in the North End. I went to North Junior High. You know, I grew up with kids who at the time, my saintly Irish mother would say, you know, we need to pray for them, you know, because their family, you know. But long story short, I really believe that the level of service being rendered by the Pittsfield School Department cannot be surpassed of anything I've ever been exposed to. And I lived all over the world. So, and I mean that not because I like the people in the district. I just interviewed these people, and you judge them. You tell me that they're not committed to help giving the best. And I'll tell you what, if you can prove it to me after watching these people open up and tell you what they do daily, then I'll buy you a coffee.
And that's, you know, and I implore everyone to watch that series of shows, and reach out to them if they have questions, right? If they have wonderings, contact them, ask to set up a meeting, or invite one of them to a community organization or an event to speak and be there. We're all available to anyone. We are public servants, and inform and educate the community. And we try to do that work. The work is never done. It's never enough. But we want people to know and understand what does happen you know, not only at the central office, but through our schools. And we've been, you know, I feel very transparent to our community because we want them to have the information, you know, and my boys went to Morningside, then Reed, and now Taconic High School. And I feel that they have received an outstanding education, and they are better for being part of a very diverse school community.
Absolutely.
Because that is the world. And so was the thought of school choicing them to another surrounding district ever in my mind, even when I wasn't superintendent? No. Because I want my boys, my sons, to be part of a diverse community, because that's our world. And so I feel very strongly about that. And there'll be no one that can convince me otherwise. And I know some of our community does not believe that. And they do not feel that way. But we're always better for being part of a diverse community. Always.
Let me just build on that. I went to North Junior High, I went to PHS, and I went into the Army. And when you walked into those old World War II barracks that still had coal burner for heat, all of a sudden you realize not everybody looked like you.
Yeah.
Not everybody talked like you. Not everybody had the same level of education, high school. They may have diplomas, and I found that out in the Violent Youthful Offender Program. People had diplomas that were reading on the second and third grade level, doing math on the first and second grade level. But anyhow, I attribute my ability to integrate, accept, become part of a team in the military because of my diverse background from North Junior High, from PHS, because I met people in that group that they weren't. They were from private schools in the South and all this stuff. So I go along with Mr. Curtis in saying this. Part of education is learning to get along.
Yeah. And, you know, and you know, throughout your career and certainly mine, we have had to work with people that are not like us, that don't think like us, don't look like us, don't do things the same way we might believe it should be done. That's the real world. And so I felt very strongly that I not, you know, put my sons in a place that mostly had people like them, because I knew when they went to college or when they went and worked as an auto mechanic, or my youngest is going to school to be an astrophysicist, that they are not going to be with everyone that thinks, looks, and acts like them. That's not, and I wouldn't want that anyways.
No, it is so true. But the one thing I found in all the cultures that I have been involved with is people want their kids to be safe. They want to be safe. They want to be sheltered. They want to have food, and they want to live in peace. And, you know, going back to, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring this guy up. Dr. Bishop, Taconic High School's principal. I don't know where you found the guy. I don't know what, but boy, you want to talk about a nice blend of a visionary, an educator, an administrator. I can't say enough good things about the guy. I go there, the place, and I said this on air to him, the place is spotless. To the custodians, I clap to you. To the kids, I literally saw a kiddo stop and pick up a piece of paper that had fallen out of somebody's book.
That shows
now,
a sign.
That's pride in your school.
Yeah. You know, and that's, and how that school has really come alive under his leadership in Miss Gage's. You know, the horticulture department next week, next Thursday and Friday. I hope you and your wife make a visit. They're doing their annual plant sale, right? So, you know, the theater department involved the culinary department and a dinner show. So, you know, there's so much activity that involves the community at Taconic, and how he's been able to foster that is certainly impressive.
I call that real world learning.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I want to just thank Miss Day, Miss Stokes, both principals of PHS, and Miss Brights and Bethany Nichols. I mean, and I'm sure I forgot somebody, but just remember, you're dealing with a 77-year-old man.
He can't remember. I forget things though too, so it's yeah. And I'm not 77. Although I
have that thing on my key fob, you know, I press it when I go out in the parking lot to find my car because the horn starts blowing. But you know, when is the next? Is Monday this is a budget meeting?
Yes, Monday at 6 p.m. is the city council
today, folks. That's today.
Yeah, that is at 6 p.m. We'll be doing we're hoping a rather brief overview of the school committee approved FY25 budget. And then we'll be taking questions from the city councilors related to the budget. But we have every hope, because we've made such dramatic cuts already that they will approve preliminarily, as you know, appropriation that we've brought forth.
Will there be a public speaking thing there or no?
Yes, there's always an opportunity for any member of the public to speak. I do believe the president asked that people sign the guest book, or it's not a guest book, but just to sign up to speak at the public portion. Right. I believe there's a 3-minute limit, but
yeah.
We're very hopeful that the city council will approve our budget, because we simply couldn't imagine making any more cuts.
Well, I would hope that taxpayers, yeah, and let me just say this, and again, this is me. He's got nothing to do with Mr. Curtis, school department, school committee, not anybody. You know, I know there are politicians who like to hang their hat, and we're going to cut taxes. We're going to do this. I plead with you this. And I'm an old man I used to be on a fixed income. I'm on a shrinking income now. Now I only have a half a bowl of cornflakes in the morning. But all I'm saying is this. Let's not cut our nose off to spite our face. Right now, for some of these kiddos in this school, and that means nothing where you're from, what neighborhood or ever. Because in the Violent Youthful Offender Program, I had them from the very poor to the very rich. So let me just say this. Let's make intelligent. And I would say this. The school department always comes with data. Always. Yeah. And that goes back to, I don't know, maybe John Krieger. But all I'm saying to you people on politics is, use this and think of the long run. We're building, they more so than me or anybody. Oh, they're building Pittsfield. That's what they're doing. They're building Pittsfield.
You know, it's important to know, thank you, Bill, that we started this budget process last October. So I think we're on month 7 around there. And because of our dramatic cut in Chapter 70 funds, which, yeah, I don't know if most of the public knows, but Chapter 70 funds really, which is from the state, really fund most of our school budget.
Right, yes.
There certainly is a contribution from our city, but most of the funding comes from the state. But nevertheless, not to belabor a point, you know, we received a dramatic cut in Chapter 70 funds.
Yes.
So that caused us to shift and do other things and think out of the box and think creatively. So we did a number of reductions that we've, including those at the central office, central office reductions, shifting of thinking and reorganization that will save the taxpayer quite a bit of money down to the school level. So, you know, we have every confidence, as our city council always is, that they will be supportive of this.
I hope so. The reason I ask is if you want to support the schools, you get 3 minutes to go before the I may be there in person. Most probably, I've already spoken to Peter White. I would go to all the meetings if they had recliners.
Yeah.
But they don't. They got those hard chairs, and I'm an old man with a bad back. I can't thank you enough, Mr. Curtis. Please tell all the people that were involved, please. They were wonderful, and about the wonderful feedback we're getting. So thank you for the opportunity, and we'll do it more.
Yes, we have to.
To my Mr. Curtis, all my listeners and viewers, God bless. And today, do something nice for somebody. Make somebody be the light in somebody's darkness. Make them smile. Make them laugh. Give them a call. Joe, hang in there 1 minute. Talk to you soon. Be well. Thanks for watching. And please support the Pittsfield School System.